You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some.
Beware, IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. I'm joined today by Justin Davis,
Scoop.
Greg Miller,
yeah!
Brian Altano.
Brah!
Lots to talk about today. We're going to talk about a strange new character in Call of Duty. We're going to talk about Magic the Gathering, the movie. But our lead story this week is analysts at Stern AG predict, that's my best guess.
It's probably Aggie.
Aggie?
Stern Aggie.
I already mispronounced the movie Philomena today.
Let me see.
Stern Aggie.
A G.
See, I said a G.
I say a G.
Okay.
Anyway, they predict by the end of this year, collective install base for the PS4 and Xbox One will be 33 million.
Damn.
Combined?
Combined.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That does sound like a lot to
yeah.
me. They're currently, so we know the PS4 sold 4.2 million, right, by the end of the year,
yeah.
and Xbox One was around 3 million, right? Yeah. So 7 million collectively. They need to sell another 26 million by the end of this year.
That's if they get them on shelves.
2 million a month if it were distributed evenly.
I think that's so probably pretty accurate. If I were to, if someone said, gun to my head, Justin, what do you think? I would probably say about that many.
33 million.
That's about 7 million more than the Xbox and the GameCube did individually in their total entire lifespans. And that's in the first year. That's crazy.
The Xbox? The original
Xbox and the GameCube did about 24, 25 million.
So we know, I mean, they're not going to sell, I mean, they're going to sell plenty, but mostly there's not that much hardware moving until next holiday, right? Yeah. Like next October, November, December, that's when the consoles are really going to sell.
Yeah, that's true. That's when you'll see the big spike. But you figure a lot of people are holding out for Titanfall, for mm-hmm. Infamous, for that game that actually is next gen.
Titanfall will sell some Xbox Ones.
Yeah.
They're also selling every single PS4 that they ship. The Xbox is a little behind
the Xbox
that.
Is totally in stock now.
Yeah.
So let me put it this way. The reason why I don't think that number is that outrageous is let's say they sell twice as many PS4s next Christmas and twice as many Xbox Ones next Christmas as they did this past Christmas.
Right.
That plus whatever they sell the rest of the year, you know, a several hundred thousand every month will get them to 33 million.
Sure.
And that's, I am not an analyst, that's not based on any kind of actual math.
What's the total lifetime sales for the 360 and PS3? It's around 80?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They're going to do a third of that in 1 year?
No, but that's 160 combined.
I'm sorry, you're right.
Yeah.
I cannot math, as we've proved many times before.
Right now, it certainly seems like the PS4 is going to be selling more consoles, but just for the sake of math, if that were 15 million a piece, that would be 15 million out of the, you know, around 80 that the last gen consoles have sold. So, it's aggressive, but like
33 million would apparently be 100% better than the 360.
Oh, so it's twice as fast.
Yeah, than they did last gen.
And they launched twice as fast.
Yeah. What do you mean?
They sold twice as many at launch.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
So it's just staying on the pace they're on now.
It's mm-hmm. not even counting those astronomical Wii U numbers either. It's just going to spike it to at least...
The tip of the sword of next gen, we call the Wii U.
33.2.
Wii U, just the tip.
Just the tip.
They also note that R&D costs should increase at a slower rate than they did last gen. They have some interesting reasons for this.
Fresca
time. One of the problem areas last gen, so there are three reasons why R&D costs rose greatly last generation. Number one, the shift from standard def to high definition made development more expensive. The shift from offline to online gameplay, so that's whole other systems that they had mm-hmm. to implement into their games. And the significant differences in the architecture of the 360 and the PS3.
Yep.
Right.
We're hearing now, apparently, the Xbox One and PS4 are more similar.
Yeah, they're PCs. I mean, that's the best thing. That's why Sony was so smart to get off the Cell processor and say, all right, let's just do this. Port all your Steam games over. We're ready.
Yeah. That's so, I mean, I hope that news turns out to be true and good news, because all we hear about is how expensive it is to make games now, how you need to sell so many copies to make a profit. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy to remember the jump from, you know, PS2 to PS3, Xbox to Xbox 360. That was, like... Xbox Live existed, but think about what that became on the 360. Like, this totally, every game's going to have a demo, this huge elaborate service. Mm-hmm. You know, and you think about things like HD. Like, I didn't have an HD TV when the 360 played out. I played Oblivion on an SD TV. Mm-hmm. And, like, then I got an HD TV later. And, like, that jump doesn't seem nearly as big to me. Like, games became radically different in the last generation than they are now.
Well, we'll continue following the sales of both next-gen consoles, both current-gen consoles, here on IGN.
I refuse to follow them.
just hear about this Michael Myers character coming to Call of Duty Ghosts.
Right.
Yep.
Rob Zombie's Michael Myers is coming to Call of Duty Ghosts, right?
No, I think it's more like the classic John Carpenter.
Oh, I see.
I'm pulling up some footage from the trailer here. The first downloadable content pack for Call of Duty Ghosts is called Onslaught. As I understand it, in that pack, there's a map called Fog, and on that map, you can play as
you run around as Michael Myers, killing people with an axe.
Yeah.
Well, so what does that mean?
She reads the news.
It's so weird. It's just a weird addition.
Well, that's what the Onslaught mode, or the equivalent of Zombies mode, has always been like really weird and off the wall.
Yeah.
And strange. Like, you can play as Nixon and like other ones in the previous games, but they had silly one-liners.
Yeah.
When it's first person, what does it matter who like you are? How do they represent that in the game?
Mm, yeah.
I don't know. It's always strange to me when they do this stuff, you know? Because it's like for a year straight, we have to hear. We see all these trailers about how serious war is, and they're like, and then they show us the dog, and they're like, he'll be your trusty companion. And then, like, the game ships, and, like, all bets are off. They're like, hey, E.T. versus the Blob. Have fun, kids. And they're like, wait a minute. Wasn't this, like, a serious war game, like, 3 months ago? And I admire that they're having fun. I think that's important to do that. But
those other modes have always been their chance to, like, cut loose and be silly.
Totally, totally.
I do wonder if they're taking it. I don't know what too far is, but I feel like we're a hop, skip, and a jump. We're like one game away from being like, you can play as Christopher Walken as himself.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome. That would make me excited.
Also, like, is Michael Myers really hot with the kids these days?
That's the question I have. That's the big thing that I'm like, eh?
Like, did they pay to have him in there? Like, the people that make the movies?
We need to, right? You can just put a property, like, you know.
Oh, I guess that's a good point.
An IP in your game.
And also, I haven't caught up on...
Rob Zombie's laughing all the way to the bank.
It's not Rob Zombie.
I haven't caught up on, like, the last 40 of his movies, but is he still able to kill, like, 80, like, squad dudes with, like, huge machine guns and everything with just his hatchet in the woods?
That's why this brings a couple things to my mind. One, I think it's cool because Call of Duty has a rep for just being a mindless bro shooter, right?
Yep.
But then they do weird off-the-wall stuff like this. I think that's cool. It is kind of off-brand for Michael Myers, though. He doesn't kill people at a cabin in the woods, mm-hmm. and he doesn't run, he doesn't chase after people with holding an axe.
Yeah, at all.
So, as a horror fan, I have a little beef with that.
I didn't get, did you watch the trailer? Like, did you pay much attention to this news?
Yeah.
Like, I only saw the headline, so I don't know exactly.
I watched the trailer and stuff.
So, but
there's a torture chamber.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that he doesn't talk. So, what is Michael Myers? How do you like see? Does it start in a mirror and you can see that's
the
who you
trailer's
are,
really like, brief. They don't even talk about like 100%.
One player gets to be Michael Myers. I assume whoever kills him gets to be Michael Myers next.
Oh yeah,
it's on a multiplayer map.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Everybody go see Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Go see it.
Yeah,
it's in theaters
now. The Dollar Theater in your local county is playing it somewhere.
Not in theaters now. I don't know that the latest Paranormal Activity is still in theaters, but Paranormal Activity 5 is coming next year.
Oh, okay, good.
I read about that.
Right, we're gonna go see the marked ones. We're gonna be able to see the marked ones somewhere. Don't worry about it.
I think you guys missed that.
No,
it just came out, didn't it?
Stupid Damon going to Japan.
It didn't tank to the box office. Yeah. But it only has to make $50 to make a profit. So
that's true. Like tank that movie cost them nothing to make.
I know. Yeah, that's true.
It's cardboard ghosts.
I'll buy the Blu-ray.
Anyway, that Call of Duty Ghosts Onslaught DLC pack is out January 28th. We were talking about movies just now.
Yeah, Damon Way.
Speaking of, how does Magic the Gathering the movie sound?
Really boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And I love Magic the Gathering.
Can we stop making these Hobbit movies? I'm just done with this.
This is the thing. 20th Century Fox bought the rights to a movie from Hasbro, and they have an eye on making a massive franchise on the scale of Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know, Damon.
So you and I both like Magic the Gathering.
I might be the biggest Magic the Gathering fan in the office, and even I don't know about this.
The problem is with Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings, there's lots of characters that we know and care about, and there's a story there, right? Like, what?
I was going to say, not to sound like a noob, but is there a story to Magic?
There is. Each expansion has, like, lore, but it's, like, told through, like, cards. It'll just be, like, heroes and stuff, and you get, like, some hints about, like, the greater conflict.
I don't think people really know.
No, and they used
to. Is this going to be, like, a Jumanji thing where a bunch of, like, kids are sitting around and one of them puts a card down and, like, a dragon comes out of it? Like,
that's my question. Is it all going to be in the universe, or is it going to be, like, two kids and one gets, like, sucked into his deck of cards and then he's in the world of Magic?
Right, because otherwise it's just another one of those movies where like trolls are battling dragons, and that's fine, do all that, but what does that have to do with collectible playing cards?
Right, that's the big question, is it going to be self-aware enough to integrate the actual
cards? What did Battleship have to do with Battleship? Nothing.
But then they did try to bring it in. They split it up into groups.
No, because I think the Magic the Gathering movie would be awesome if, like, every 45 minutes it just cut to two kids in it, and one of them is just like, and he slides a card across the table, and it's like, and it cuts back, and there's these huge battles and
it's
dragons.
Like an episode of Community.
This guy's getting his head chopped off. Jesus. And it's a dragon. And then you see some big dragon, like, raise up
and
out of the lava.
Screaming? And he's like, Mom!
Yeah. Then it's a kid being like, I summon my elder dragon.
Spilled Coke on my card.
Does Hasbro own Battleship also? Or is that a Mattel property?
I don't know.
I want to say they do. Anyway.
I'm just saying, one of these board games that's...
They're taking it really seriously. They hired a dude that's, like, their equivalent of the Joss Whedon that's, like, pulling all the strings of the Marvel Universe to, like, oversee
the Magic Universe?
Yeah.
Simon Kinberg, and he wrote Sherlock Holmes, the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes movie. He wrote that one.
The Andrew Goldfarb movie, Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, starring Andrew Goldfarb. Actually, wasn't he in the sequel?
He's in the first one.
I don't know.
He's one of the constables that arrests Sherlock towards the end of the first Sherlock Holmes.
Spoilers. They put him on death row. He died.
It's very traumatic to watch.
He's an android in the second one. His consciousness was beamed to it.
Magic the Gathering, the movie, coming soon to a theater near you.
Remember the Wild Wild West movie?
Yeah.
No, I try
remember
not
to remember the song? Wild Wild West?
To the Wild Wild West.
A wiggity wiggity west.
Did I say really wiggity wiggity movie. West?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was
a freewheeling 90s.
It's like wiggity wiggity whack.
Yeah, that movie was number one at the box office. Who gives a shit? They can say whatever they want.
Who is the other guy?
Was it number one,
the
really?
White guy?
Isn't it Kenneth Branagh?
Klein.
Chris Klein.
One of the Kleins.
Yeah. Calvin Klein?
No. Was it number one?
I think that movie bombed.
It bombed hard, yeah.
I thought it was number one at the box office. I thought that was that he had, Big Willie had like, Summer on Lock for like
yeah he did that, but that was the one that killed it. That was
yeah,
the one.
Oh really?
Yeah, Big Willie.
That was like the most depressing. I've never
Free
seen
Willie. What are you talking about?
No, Big Willie.
Big Willie.
Big Willie Styles.
That was the name of the album.
That's Summer Slam.
But that goes
Meadow.
By Big Willie.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
I've never seen a teacher so crestfallen as when she was like, our history teacher was teaching us something, and like she's like, none of us knew the answer, and she's like, it was an event that was in the biggest movie of the summer, and we all just came back. We're like, wait, what? And she's like, it's the railroads.
The Matrix?
They connect, and they do this. And we're like, what movie was that in it? And she's like, Wild Wild West. And no one in the room had seen Wild Wild West. And she's like, really? No, no like, one saw
they
Wild
fought a
Wild
spider.
Yeah.
There was a car train.
Moving on here. You would get my attention if you told me that the creator of Final Fantasy Tactics was making another game that could be considered the spiritual successor to his games like Final Fantasy Tactics. And we found
Damon, do I have your attention? I have news for you.
We maybe found that out this week. Maybe?
Yeah. Continue. I'm a little skeptical.
That was a good sound effect to use to confirm. You're like, yeah.
Developer and publisher Playdeck, publisher of iOS games, card battle games like Ascension, and iOS board games like Agricola. Is it Agricola? Is that how you pronounce it?
Agricola, I would say.
Anyway, they announced a Kickstarter where they've partnered with Yasumi Matsuno, the creator of Ogre Battle, Tactics Ogre, Final Fantasy Tactics, to make a new game that's supposedly going to play just like those. It's called Unsung Story, Tales of the Guardians.
Oh, they're Kickstarter.
Good name. Rolls off the tongue.
No, it's Unsung Story. It's whatever.
Shut up. RPG. That's what.
No, Unsung Story.
I'll beat you to death.
Unsung Story is Playdeck's card battle game. Unsung Story, Tale of the Guardians is their turn-based strategy game set in that universe.
So they're trying to raise $600,000.
So far, they've hit $300,000.
Yeah, they've already raised $300,000.
Mainly, it's been 3 days.
They got your attention.
A very generous donor. D. Hatfield. The anonymous D. Hatfield.
That's way too obvious.
Should call him Damon H. Simpsons joke?
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. Why should we not be quite as excited?
So, Matsuno's name is attached to it, but it doesn't. His level of involvement is potentially quite a bit less than what people might be aware of that are already, oh, it's the Final Fantasy Tactics guys making a new Tactics RPG. But didn't he, do you have the details in front of you? Like, he tweeted something out, or some fan reached him and asked him. He's like, oh, yeah, like, I did some, like, design stuff, and that's it.
He, like, helped them design the game, but he's not, like,
he's not a creative director. Actively involved.
So he at least talked with them about what some good systems would be.
What else is this guy doing?
Yeah, I know.
That's a good point. I mean, I understand. Well, I always hear these stories, and it's like, oh, his name's involved, but not that much.
Right.
Like, just put both feet in the door, finish the game, make everybody happy, you get your $600,000, you probably get $1,200,000 in a whole weekend.
I will say that I don't want to poo-poo it too much, because Playdeck is...
This is a family.
Easy.
I don't want to poo-poo.
My virgin ears over here.
Playdeck is legit. Sometimes people hear iOS.
Playdeck makes good games.
Sometimes people hear like mobile game and they check out, but they're one of the people that are absolutely doing it right. They're making great sort of core gamer strategy card games on mobile. They did Ascension, which I'm absolutely hooked on. And
I love Ascension.
You can buy it for it. It's not like microtransaction.
I'm playing one of their games right now. It has a weird name like Tonto Quarry. It's a card battle game. Two players. And the goal is to... You're the master of a house, and the goal is to staff your house with maids, cute
maids. Yeah.
And then you get victory points, and when you run out of all the cards are gone, the person who's like stocked their house with the best maids wins the game.
But they're sexy maids.
Yeah, but I would say the game is more cute than sexy. There's not like...
It's like anime.
But didn't you say you get to choose one of the maids to stay in
one
your
of your maids
room
can
with
stay
you?
In your private chambers. And she gives you bonuses and boosts.
What kind of bonuses?
It's like you can now hire more maids by paying less love. It's things like that. Yeah.
Brian wants to know more.
I think I know what you're talking about.
But you can put illnesses on your opponent's maids so they get sick and they don't perform as well.
That's horrible. Why would
it's
you
a very
do
complicated
that?
Game. I'm still learning all of this.
What a mean thing to do to somebody's maids. You got to clean the house yourself. You got sick maids. Get those sick maids out of the house.
So I don't want to sound too negative about Unsung Story. What's the colon after it?
Tale of the Guardians.
Tale of the Guardians, because even if Matsuno wasn't involved at all, like a really hardcore SRPG strategy tactics game from Playdeck could be totally rad.
And it looks very likely that it will be funded.
Yeah.
28 days ago, and they've already hit in there.
28 days later. 28
days.
Jokes.
Let's regroup 28 days
even
later.
Even though you're a dirty Milky.
Foreshadowing. I don't play sports games.
Yeah, you love sports ball.
Yeah, I do. You know, it's strange, maybe. When I was a kid, I would play any sports game on my NES.
Yeah, me too.
Sure.
I played any sports game.
Me too.
I played NES Play Action Football, Tecmo Bowl.
It was simple.
I played all the Kings of the Beach, the volleyball games, and I played this game, RBI Baseball.
This was a great game.
I got news for you. I'd like your attention. It's back.
What?
RBI 14.
I would like to announce here on GameScoop. It is apparently coming back. Major League Baseball, the MLB actually made the announcement. RBI Baseball coming spring 2014. This game has been gone since the 90s.
Yeah, so is Tengen.
It's being developed by MLBAM, or Major League Baseball Advanced Media. This is the first game they've
Major
ever
League
developed.
Baseball
Advanced Media.
See, Damon, you shoot my hopes into the air, and then
it's not going to be a cute 8-bit like.
I don't think
game.
So. Well, I mean, so it's.
You don't know that. You don't know that. Hold out hope.
Okay. So it'll have licensed players in it, I guess?
No, they will. You will, yeah.
Okay. I don't remember if this one did or if it just
this
had...
This one did. This is the first officially licensed MLB game.
Okay, so it had real teams
in 1986, I believe, when it was released in Japan.
And not like the Reds versus they made up.
Real teams.
The Johnny Hawks.
Yeah. What does RBI stand for?
Runs real. Batted in.
I thought you said you didn't know about sports ball.
Damon did the news story on this. That's how he knows all these facts.
It's actually Radical Baseball Island.
Radical Baseball Island. Ken Griffey's
I don't know what runs batted in means, but I know that's what it stands for.
It's a stat for, like, a batter.
We're way out of our depth here.
No, it's not. Like, okay, so you don't...
Alex Solomita's freaking
you
out.
Don't, I know
right
what it is. You're not hitting a home run to get yourself... in or whatever.
So if you hit the ball and another team,
I get a double, but the guy, yeah, exactly. The guy on third gets in. That's
wait, they made a whole game based on that?
That's all it is. That's the point. They don't even care about scores. It's all about adequately setting up your team to get on base.
That's like making a whole game based on throw-ins in soccer.
Is this a cool name? RBI is a cool name.
Was this the one with the robots?
No, that's what I wanted to talk about. That was Base Wars.
Okay. Base Wars.
Which, as long as we're bringing back 8-bit... baseball games, why don't we bring back Base Wars? I think we have the...
there goes the mouse cursor. That's what we got.
I think we have the box art for Base Wars here that we can pull up. This game was awesome.
This is the only one that I remember. I was never a sports game guy.
Give us a second. We'll pull it up here.
My thing about these baseball games is I hope it does come back and it is the 8-bit style. But then it's one of those you can never go home to those. We tried it with NBA Jam recently. That came out and people really didn't care.
Yeah.
A few
look
people
how awesome this box art is. Yeah. This game needs to come back.
Yeah, this is the one I remember. This is
the sequel to Real
Steel. This is crazy. First of all, this pitcher hasn't even connected with the batter yet, and people are beating the crap out of each other in the outfield. Look, this dude's got roller legs.
I want to notice at the top, this game was part of the Cyber Stadium series.
Including such favorites as Nothing Else,
Nothing else ever
this
released
game
in the series.
Wasn't.
I don't know.
Ultra Games, remember
that? It didn't come to the Sega Master System.
Ultra Games was Konami.
Konami.
Yeah. They were, Konami
was
putting
out... It was a workaround.
Konami was putting out too many NES games at the time, and somebody was like, stop. And they're Nintendo
had
Ultra
rules
games.
In place.
Yeah.
In order to keep quality at a certain level, you could only release certain games a year, so Konami was like, oh, we'll just start this other company.
Yeah, it was like when a kid goes trick-or-treating in the same house twice with different costumes on. What do you do? No, I'm Ultra Games. All right.
Anyway,
RBI Baseball. So, Base Wars, this is like a weird genre of sports game. It was like Base Wars and Mutant League Football.
There was Cyberball, also, which is a football, robot football game.
Okay. Oh, I remember that.
Why aren't there more like fun, quirky sports games? Yeah. I would play those.
Because EA made sure that would never happen.
But again, you'd play them if they were simple. They'd come out and they still have like Madden controls, but there'd be a troll and a fucking robot running at each other.
They do.
You gotta spin and do this, and then like rotate the stick halfway back. Just play regular Madden and pretend they're all robots.
They tried bringing back Mutant League Football on Kickstarter and it failed. It didn't reach its goal.
Oh, that's really sad.
The main guy behind it recently came out and said he thinks it's because they put iOS as their lead SKU and there was a big backlash against it.
Oh, interesting.
There's nothing more sad to me than someone really like earnestly trying to bring something back via Kickstarter and then no one gives a shit.
Yep.
How's that Boogerman remake coming? Is that really actually happening or is that a Kickstarter?
I feel it in my gut. It just makes me sad. I cringe.
Yeah. Someone's love, someone's passion project, dead on the table.
Because somebody's going home to his wife every day, and he's like, he's actually not going home to his wife. He's already there.
No, you know what it is? You know what actually gets me about
his wife's
it?
Coming home.
His wife's coming home.
Profitable
what
job.
What you doing? We're trying to get this booger man off the ground. How much money do you have? Nothing, but just wait till the 90s kids wake up. Like, that doesn't happen. It's so sad.
What makes me so sad about it is that it's like a long, it's like they got 45 days to raise this money, and you know by like day four. You're not gonna.
I think day one or two, right?
Well, it sucks
so then it's like then you just have to watch the thing tick down.
It's such a sad footnote on already like these things already died once in our childhood, right? Yeah. But then like they come back for a day on we read the story on IGN and then they die a sadder death. Yeah. And Boogerman was dead, right? We didn't need to bring him back.
It's like if someone says, "Hey, Boogerman," you'd be like, "That is a terrible idea. Don't do that." But then like Leisure Suit Larry gets like $1 million, and it's like, how do you predict? Like, I don't know what's gonna like. Would Earthworm Jim? Would people care about that?
Yeah,
like,
that'd do.
I think they would.
That'd do it.
They already probably. I mean, that was already released on Xbox Live Arcade and PSN.
It's just hard to predict like which retro stuff people have like those fond feelings for and which one people don't.
It's not Boogerman.
Bonus topic before we jump into Gabe Newell. Familiar with the name?
Yep.
Gaben.
Yeah. He says he will do an AMA on Reddit.
Okay.
Ask me anything.
Yes. If this charity that he's part of reaches 500,000 in donations, the hospital charity, what's it called? The Heart of Racing Foundation. If they reach 500,000 donations, he'll do an AMA on Reddit.
Okay. Did you hear about how this came out, by the way?
No.
So he posted on Reddit, hey, I'm part of this, you know, racing team, yada, yada, yada. And his username was like Gabe Newell Valve or Gabe Newell Seattle or like something that's clear who he was. And it got ignored. No one upvoted it, no one anything.
Two different threads got ignored, yeah.
And then finally someone's like, are you the real Gabe Newell that you say you are in your name? And then he snapped a picture of himself, like with this, like he did a selfie, and then it blew up after that. Like it's funny that he's
this one.
He's basically like Reddit Gaming's god. And they didn't believe that he was him and ignored the thread until they found out that it was legit.
What this tells me is that $500,000 is the price of Half-Life 3 information.
Yeah. He'll dodge it. They'll be like, why do he gets this question all the time.
It's called Ask Me Anything.
Yeah. So he'll give the. It's not Ask Me Anything, and I will give you a giant detailed. It'll be, oh, Half-Life 3 will come out when we're ready for it. You know, blah, blah, blah. What has he said before?
We all love Half-Life a lot at Valve, and when the time's right.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad that there's nothing in my life that I'm waiting for that much that's outside of my own control of like making or doing myself. Because that's like, how long has it been now? How many years?
2004 was Half-Life 2.
So almost 10 years. 10 years. Just sitting there going, when's the new? And he's like, oh, well, we all love the. Oh, just keep waiting. Here, I'm going to. Here's my racing thing. I'm going Reddit. And like, I just. It's so hard to just watch those people over and over go, where is it? Where is it? Like, let's play all the other games in the meantime.
It's also timed at 10 years. It's time to stop.
Yeah.
Like a few years after episode 2, whereas episode 3, episode 3, fine. But like, it's too much. Just stop.
It all worked out well for Duke Nukem, so. Yeah. Just keep on banging the drum.
Well, if he's not going to talk about Half-Life 3, then my interest in a Gabe Newell AMA...
You're going to take your money back?
...sinks.
Yeah.
But the Valve does do, like, a lot of really interesting stuff, and he's usually really upfront and forthcoming about, like, the stuff that Valve's working on, just not, like, secret unannounced games.
That's true.
Like, he said for a long time, way before the Steambox was announced, that they were working on hardware and thinking about controller prototypes and stuff like that. Like, they're pretty blunt.
Yeah. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Hey, listeners.
And viewers. There needs to be a word that encompasses all of them. I don't know what it is.
Viewers.
Consumers.
Viewers.
Viewers?
Viewers.
We'll take in some of the viewers, some of the listeners.
I kind
of
like that. I kind of like viewers.
Viewers. Viewers.
Listeners?
Viewers.
The listeners. Yeah, we'll think about it. Yeah,
we're going to workshop that.
Johnny Jeans.
Johnny Jeans.
Hey, Johnny Jeans.
Friends, remember you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com, just like Jacob Safari did.
Whoa. That's an awesome name.
Yeah. Wow. I looked it up. Safari is apparently a legit last name.
What?
Is this where you looked up the...
Yes.
Are we going to talk about that?
Not really.
Okay. Just
a quick... I Googled, is Safari a real last name? That brought me to the U.S. Census website, where they have census data on families with the name Safari. And really quick... there's a link there that will give the life expectancy for this family name.
For different last names.
Yeah. What how long has he got?
it was a little under. Like, if 80's the median now, it was a little bit under.
Oh, man.
That's why I didn't look up my own name.
That would be the first
thing. Yeah, of course, man. So Safari's dangerous as hell.
Anyway. This draft's there.
I'm 78, David, and I feel like time is growing short.
if my name was the Joey Time Bomb, like, you'd be like, oh, he's not going to make it that long.
Joey Timebomb. You were just born into a mafia family.
Anyway, Jacob's subject is, are games too long? Dear GameScoop, with the awesome plethora of titles out across all systems, it's hard to experience them all. I currently own a PS4, PS3, and a Wii U. There are many good games in my backlog that haven't even started yet, which begs the question, are games too long? I recently stopped playing Assassin's Creed 4 about two-thirds of the way through, after about 30 hours and a solid month of gameplay, not because it was bad, just because I wanted to experience other titles. Should developers scale back the time it takes to complete a game so we can more likely see them through to the end, or must we be forced to quit games before completion just so we can experience as much as possible?
Forced if you want to see the end.
Yeah.
Well, he says forced to quit games.
Right.
I think he's putting that pressure on himself, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. A lot of people, like, you have... multiple systems. Sure. A lot of people just have one system. You know?
Right.
Greg and I talk about this all the time, about how like the perfect sweet spot's sort of like 6 to 8 hours, maybe 10 hours. It's just like...
For you.
Yeah, but it depends on the type of game, right?
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, a long game is a selling point for them.
Right, because I mean, some people, there are people that only buy a few games a year, and they either do it because of money or because they just want to focus on only a few games a year. And there are people that want to experience more and more. And I think the money thing gets kind of thrown out the window when you have stuff like Gamefly and stuff now. Like there's, what is it? Redbox, where you can walk up, put a few bucks in, get a game for a few days, and then play it. So I think the money thing is, it used to be a big point, but I don't think it is anymore. But I think most people now, it's still this norm that, I mean, we read it in the IGN comments all the time, when a game is like less than 20 hours, it's like, oh, you know, that was, the developers are lazy. They didn't make it. And I disagree.
Like, we see the opposite, too, though. Like, oh, I don't have time for, why a lot of people say they quit RPGs.
Yeah. And I mean, I would love an RPG that was 10 hours, you know, and I know that's almost impossible
Costume
to do.
Quest?
Sure. Stuff like that is great for me. But when it comes to like your, you know, Assassin's Creeds and Heavy Rains and stuff like that, they come out every year. I don't think I want to spend 35 hours playing them. I would love to do them in 10.
I mean, I was just saying, it is a little weird. I think it's something that's specific to gaming, where gamers seem to be obsessed with the length of games, and it's not new.
Yeah.
I remember like reading like game magazines back in the 16-bit days, and they'd be like, oh, Square Enix is prepping, you know, a 40-hour RPG.
Yeah.
I'm working
it's just something
a,
that people, like, want to know how long games are before they start them.
Right.
I'm working on a feature, like, essay. I don't exactly have it figured out yet, but this is a topic that I want to explore, where this is not a problem that albums, TVs, movies, even books have. Yeah. Nothing else has this problem but games. Some people might want to not read a book like, because it's 1,000 words. They don't want to read War and Peace because it's intimidating.
Radiohead has a new album out. How long is the album?
Yeah.
No one's saying, I don't want to get the new Chuck Palahniuk book because it's not 300 pages.
Yeah.
But with video games, but I don't see it as a problem. I just see it as this really interesting thing about this medium is that the breadth of, like, an album can be, you know, hardcore death metal or, like, opera, but they still follow the same basic, like, they're going to be this, you know, 30 minutes to what would the longest album ever be, like, maybe 90, like,
I don't know, the longest album of all.
I mean, even, well, like, the thing
is, like, yourself a musician.
Like, a game can be anything. A game can be, like, a 5-minute Flash game or XBLA game, or it can be a 100-hour epic, like Skyrim, or, you know, 300-hour epic. And
the albums are weird, because the longest albums are defined, or at least were, by the medium that they could be pressed to, like vinyl or CD.
Yeah.
So you would have, like, a double, triple CD, or you'd have, like, those old gatefold vinyls that had, like, a stack of records inside, and you're switching them every 10 minutes and stuff like that. But it's, I don't, like, pick up a book and go, this is not heavy enough. It must be bad.
It's weird.
Put it down.
Yeah, but I mean, there's an investment, right? Like, you're picking up a book that's probably tops $20, right? Like, whereas a video game's $60 if you're buying a full price, you know, thing.
Sure.
And that's where it comes from. You don't want to spend, if you're a kid, you don't want to spend $60 on something that's going to last you 3 hours. And then if you're old men like us, you don't want to spend $60 on something you're only going to play a fifth of because you're so busy and have to do other things.
I do think game developers are getting better than ever. I think they're aware of this as a problem or issue or something that they want to tackle from their design. And more games are making it a lot of stuff after the end optional.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo puts all the hard stuff in Mario games after you rescue the princess, after you beat Bowser.
Yep.
I haven't played 3D World yet, but 3D Land had 8 more worlds. The game is twice as long as you might think it would be, and those 8 worlds seem like they're for the adults or
and
for
that,
the core
that, I really like that approach too, because it helps the sort of scalability of it, and it also helps diversify the age groups that play it. Like a 5-year-old kid can play 3D World and breeze through it, but me, when I sit there, like, I want to collect everything in each level, and that, like, makes it much harder.
And they're not just, like, pointless doodads. Like, each of the coins is its own little puzzle.
Sure.
So they've gotten smarter about that compared to, like, you know, Donkey Kong 64.
I appreciate that. I appreciate, like, the new game plus stuff that they do to sort of, like, entice me to come back and be like, I really love it, and I know I can play it again in 10 hours or 12 hours or something like that.
The perfect example for me is my wife played through and beat Skyrim. And she was playing it a little bit every day, and I was like, hey, what did you do in Skyrim today? Oh, I beat the game. I'm like, what, really? Like, how did you? But she didn't, she just went straight through.
That's one, what I was going
to
say.
One mission to the next, and I'm like, what percent of that game did she see? There's entire, besides the 4 major quest lines, the 4 guild quest lines, like, there's whole cities that you never even get close to in the campaign. So she saw 10% of that game, maybe.
That's why he gave the example of Assassin's Creed 4, and that is a huge game that you can get sucked into. But I bet if you just went from story mission to story mission, it's
maybe 12 hours.
Yeah.
And so, but you and I played that game the same way, where we did every optional thing we could before we moved on. But you don't have to play that way. So Assassin's Creed, I think developers are doing a lot better about giving you a lot more to chew off if you want, but they don't force you to.
Yeah.
For me, Assassin's Creed 4 was like, I didn't care about the story, you know what I mean? I love that game and had such a great time, but I was playing it over break, you know, and I was playing it in little chunks around like the holidays, And then when I finally sat down for a weekend with it and played, I finally got my fill of it for that moment. You know what I mean? Where I was like, I explored all the islands I had in front of me, and then I pulled back, and I had so much more to do that I was like, not now. You know what I mean? I'm done. Yeah. I've seen what this game is. I love this game, but I don't need to sit here and do the next two-thirds of it this way. Yeah. I can go do whatever I
mean, I want. So that's the interesting thing. Like, Justin, you said your wife played Skyrim, but how did she know to not do any of the optional stuff? And, like, what... Because to me, I get distracted, and I'm like, whoa, that looks awesome. Maybe I can get an extra sword over there. Maybe I can do this quest over here. And I'm like, I'll come to the main thing later, but I'm going to run over here.
Right.
I just think she doesn't care. I think, like, she's playing Fallout 3 now, too. And I'm like, are you doing any of the missions for Moira or any of the optional stuff? She's like, no, I don't care about any of those townspielsI don't care about what their problems are.
Wow.
She's in for like, the story.
Yeah, she's just trying to get her dad back.
Yeah, exactly. Like... Which makes that game super short.
Yeah.
All right, this is Caleb Troutwayne.
Whoa, another good name.
Yeah, something's going on here.
Yes, why?
Damon's doing name stuff over here.
He will live very
long. Yeah, exactly.
I have a cool name generator. That I'm His question is, why do we hate QuickTime events, but we love games like The Walking Dead, Wolf Among Us, Heavy Rain, and Beyond Two Souls? I await you answer. Is that what he's saying? Like, this is how it works. I await you answer.
You answer.
Who says we hate QuickTime events?
That's what threw me off, too.
We hate bad ones.
A lot of people give QuickTime events
But we hate because we hate how they're used in a lot of games, where you have control over your character in an entire game, but then the final boss fight, like Resident Evil 5 did that. What was the one with the really bad QuickTime events?
A lot of games. Were you punching the boulder?
Pretty much seems like any AAA game now, AAA action game, has QuickTime events in it.
Sure.
But, and they use them in weird ways, like... So they have these game systems, like in Tomb Raider is an example where you shoot dudes the entire game, but then shooting the final dude is a weird QuickTime event.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good example. I don't know how it became a commonplace
Shenmue.
Thing for every AAA game to use. I don't know.
It's the stuff that would have been cutscenes, and they found a way to make it interactive and cinematic without having to develop... Like, if your game doesn't have a really elaborate hand-to-hand combat system, that you don't want to use for the whole game, but you still want to have your character fight somebody else. Like, you can do it one time with, like, QuickTime events, and then they don't need to do it for the rest of the game.
Totally.
But then it becomes a crutch.
Yeah, I mean, he references The Walking Dead, right? That's what you're saying. The whole game is like that. Yeah. So at no point does it feel weird that you've been running around third-person, first-person shooting as Lee and doing this, and then all of a sudden you're like... Now I have to figure out how to, you know, no, it's not how
right,
it is.
Right. Yeah, you never get kind of dragged out of that world that you're already used
right.
to.
Because it feels like fireworks. It feels silly where you press one button and then you see all this crazy stuff happen on screen. Your character's flipping around and jumping off poles and stuff. And it's
they can be done well, but they are done poorly.
And I think typically Walking Dead and Wolf Among Us, Telltale stuff, does them well.
They're also getting better. Wolf Among Us is really strong.
Yeah, I'd say the worst examples of them, and that's why... they become sort of synonymous with bad overall, are the ones where they're 3 minutes long, you can't skip them, you lose, and
right,
you go back
you die,
to the beginning of the sequence.
Jesus.
Those make me want to not play
those
games.
It feels
like
Dragon's Lair.
Totally, where it's like left, right, up, and I have to memorize the sequence of events. Then it totally breaks it for me. So, yeah, that I mean, as long as those get better, then I don't really mind them.
When a game's at its best, the controls are invisible. Like, your brain is focused on the game, and you have a controller in your hand, but you're not thinking about X and Y and R and L.
The QuickTime events put the controls up on
the screen. That's right. They're making you think about the controller you have in your hand and take you out of the moment.
Well said.
Thanks.
One more question this week comes from Sephir R. Is that a good one?
Sephir
Roth? I don't know if I like that.
Greg's so suspicious.
Don't like that one.
It says, big fan of GameScoop, my favorite game-related show. My question is, do you think that Steam machines, launching as early as September, Microsoft and Sony will step up their game to get an even larger install base before the competition arrives? If so, how do you think they could effectively do this? So Alienware announced their Steam machine is going to be available in September.
Supposed to be
priced competitively with next-gen consoles. So that tells me around $500? Which would be a really cheap Alienware
piece
there of it is.
Machinery. Looks nice, though.
It looks really good.
If it were $500, I would be tempted to buy it.
Yeah. This is actually one of the nicest looking things that Alienware has ever made. Usually their stuff's a little over the top.
I agree.
But how worried do you think Sony and Microsoft should be?
I don't think they should be worried right now just because there isn't, like... The threat is sort of nebulous, right? There isn't this unified... Like, remember a year or two ago, it was like there was the Ouya and Apple TV and, like, 15 different things were all coming at your television from a different angle as your consoles were. And everybody was like, oh, this is the future. This is the next thing. And it really wasn't, because, I mean, a bunch of different people made different set boxes. I think if there was one defined sort of like, if there's one winner of this pack, right, that becomes the thing to get, then it gets me going, oh, which is the best one of these to get? That's the best one. That rose to the top. That's the one everyone's getting. That's the one we need to be, that everyone needs to worry about. But right now there's like 75 Steam machines. Yeah, some of them are small and some are big.
14 to 15.
Yeah, and some are expensive and some are cheap. So
I think, so normally competition is obviously always good, right? Like if two companies are competing, it makes their products better. But the 14 Steam machines are complicated and confusing. And it makes it unclear what a consumer is supposed to do. It makes it unclear, you know, Alienware isn't going to have the money to market this thing on television in the way that Sony and Microsoft can with their single soul boxes.
The reason I like console gaming is because it's easy.
Yes.
And it's, I know what I'm getting and how long I'm logging into. With all the Steam machines, I'm not sure, especially if I wasn't, if I was a, you know, still working at a newspaper and just playing games on my off time, right? I would, how much research is going to have to go into figuring out which Steam machine is for me? Mm-hmm. That's what I don't get. It, you know, it, with two, when it was two PlayStation 3s and, you know, different Xboxes, you looked at, like, the side, But when you start talking about, like, oh, this one has this graphics card and this one does this and then DDR RAM, you're like, I don't know what the fuck is happening.
Yep. They built up this situation that was perfect for people like us to come in and go, I don't really know anything about PC gaming as much as I should, but they're bringing it into my living room and it's accessible and it's easy. Cool. Oh, wait, now I have one of 15 choices to make. Like they had me at the door and then they pushed me away.
The choice is kind of cool in the sense that you can match your budget level. Like there's benchmarks of how powerful these computers are. And then it's like, all right, how much money do you have to spend? $800? Here's how powerful you can get. If you want to spend $1,000, you can get one that's got a better video card in it. And you...
But I mean,
you get to choose.
But what does that all come down to? Like, so,
but it's like they don't give you
none of them is going to flip it and tell me how which one's going to run SimCity. Is this $500, $800 machine? Is it going to be? Right. Is that $300 difference going to be severe for this one game? I want to know.
If they've learned anything from consoles, is that multiple SKUs is almost always confusing, right? So I mean, I don't think gamers care about scaling to their interests or their funds when they know they can walk in and spend $400 and get the most. The next gen console, or $500, and walk out with a Xbox One. You know,
I've said on GameScoop and Tech Fetish, didn't you know anywhere?
Tech over here.
That anywhere people will listen, or this comes up, I'm not a big fan of Steam machines, which is weird because I'm a big fan of Valve. I don't think they really do much wrong at all, actually. I've never understood Steam machines. I don't understand why somebody wouldn't spend that same money on a PC. Damon, you like them.
Like I've said many times, I'm a couch gamer. I do not like playing at my PC.
Like, this is my question for you. Like, now that we know more about Steam machines, we have a price range, we have manufacturers, we have boxes, like, are you still interested in one of these?
If this is around $500, I can bring it home, and instantly on my couch, I have the entire Steam library, you know, hundreds and hundreds of great games that I've been interested in playing, but I just never did because PC gaming isn't my thing. That's enticing to me.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
So you would have to spend the same amount of money getting this that doesn't access the internet, that doesn't... I would just get a $500 PC. That's what I would suggest to anybody that really wants a Steam
machine. You've pushed him away already, though.
Yeah.
Like, my PC, I play games a lot on the PC that I have now, and I use an Xbox 360 controller exclusively. Like, I don't use a mouse and keyboard.
I want to play at my couch.
And I play on my couch. That's what I do.
Can it use wireless yet, or is it still wired?
What do you mean?
Xbox 360 controllers and the PC.
It's got to be the wired controller.
That's a deal breaker.
And you still have to get up.
I like my living room looks sexy.
And Justin, how many times do you have to get up and walk to your computer to prompt something that's happening next that you can do with your controller?
None.
What about your drivers? What about
I'm not
your
saying that's flawless. I'm saying from my experience personally, like the vision that some people have of PC gaming isn't completely accurate. If someone said, Justin, I'm not a hardcore gamer, I kind of like these Steam machines, I want to get into PC gaming, my suggestion to them would be to get a PC instead.
And PC?
You can play it on your TV, you can see on IGN.com next week where we have a feature on building your own home theater PC. That works with your TV, that it just sits in your entertainment center, it's pretty small.
Well, sentiment on Steam machines among the IGN audience seemed to be on the negative side for me from articles that we write about Steam machines. IGN fans readers are fans of their systems, PS4, Xbox One. They seem to be kind of hostile towards Steam machines. So I don't know. If that's representative of gamers, Sony and Microsoft probably don't have a lot to be worried about right now.
If you're a console gamer, you're going to be a little bit hostile to this. Like, if that's where the camp, you know, where you set up camp. And if you're a PC gamer, then this probably makes you shrug, too, because you don't
need it. A nice PC.
Yeah. So that's.
I think it's really interesting, though. Really, we really all interesting lose. To see yeah, how this
everybody
plays
loses.
Out.
I'm not saying gamers like you don't exist. Like the Damon Hatfield use case for the Steam Machine makes sense. And then I wonder, like, are there millions of people like you, or are there not? Like,
there's only one Damon.
There's only one Damon. But that's what it boils down to, is how many people care about PC games and really want to get into it that just don't already have a PC.
Yeah, that's why it's been really interesting to see. And that probably why Valve is smart not to just make the, you know, the whole
right.
thing themselves.
Yeah.
Just let
here you guys go. Try it. See what happens.
Sure.
That's about all the scoops we have for this week. Do we have any data back on our crowd?
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Here's we're gonna tell you the story here. Justin Davis is an adult male. Him and his wife drink milk at dinner every night.
So Jamie does too?
Yeah.
They're both from Iowa. I'm putting it out there.
Milk drinkers.
And you've always done this?
And I'm not saying we never, like, depending on, like, if we were making a steak, then we would have wine or something. But if it's just, like, a normal, like, pizza or whatever, right. We're not having water or wine. We're having milk with dinner. Yeah.
You have milk with pizza?
Yeah.
So to bring you up to
we
speed,
have milk with dinner. That's
us
what we
three
drink.
Don't do that.
Yeah. No one does it but me.
Brian and I described it as weird. You just said it was abnormal. Or
I said unusual.
Unusual.
Yeah. I think that's
so we put it to accurate. Twitter to see what people said. My favorite response is the first one here. It's from Eric Johnson, Sam Fisher in the new Splinter Cell. He says, it's anti-Christ-like. Also goes the same for apple juice anytime.
Yeah. These are children's drinks.
Yeah.
Former IGN or Hillary Goldstein says, as opposed to drinking milk for dinner at a friend's house, because that is definitely more adult.
I felt like when we were having this conversation before GameScoop that I was taking crazy pills, because all three of you are like, what?
We
no, never.
Delicious.
Normal is winning this vote.
Somebody says it delicious. Is? Somebody yeah. says Midwest normal. That's where we're coming from.
So it's just a Midwest thing?
I always have a glass
so
of milk
weird.
With dinner.
My girlfriend
Midwest
Christine
normal.
Says, I have done this several times. You have been there. What are you saying
it's
about
it? It's as normal
me?
As normal gets. There's one vote for abnormal.
Well, first off, these aren't all the responses.
Oh.
Like, it's giving us five. We had way
right,
more.
So who wants all that cream at night? It's so much cream to have
it's very
at
heavy.
It's skim milk. Like, there's no fat. It's fat-free.
It's just like cloudy water.
Yeah, it's gross.
Yeah, Michael says gross. Very
gross is right.
Very Midwest, I can relate. Like, what's going on?
All right, so I mean, data is still coming in.
Pizza has
data is
better,
clear, so
better
far.
Than beer with better than beer with pizza too. Normal.
I don't even like beer, better but I disagree. Pizza and beer are best friends. They're on yeah. best friend island again.
I am genuinely relieved that I am not just like a crazy person.
Absolutely normal, especially with pasta. That just grosses
that's so
me
gross.
Out.
Why does it gross you out? It's normal. Like, if we had spaghetti, like, if we were having a normal, non-fancy dinner, yeah, 9 nights out of 10, we're eating milk with dinner.
Here's why I know it's not normal, because you hide this habit in your own home.
What are you talking about?
You don't take this show on the road.
You don't do it at a restaurant.
You don't do it at a restaurant.
No one drinks milk at a restaurant.
Kids do.
Why?
Yeah.
What if you went to a pizza place and you said, oh, well, usually when I'm at home, I have a nice glass of milk with this pizza. Can you help me? They would go, no, you're crazy.
Yeah, but
we don't serve pizza milk in here.
But
disgusting.
I don't drink, like, soda. We don't ever have soda in our house either. Yeah. Like, we just don't buy it, but I would drink that at a restaurant. That's like the
you
context.
You drink soda all day, though.
Well, I have a Fresca, and I'm actually not drinking.
I'm looking through the giant list of at replies, and normal is winning.
Okay.
By a lot.
All right. Seems to be normal. We don't do it.
No, because we're normal.
I'll be over here being weird then.
All you psychopaths
you said,
out there.
You said you don't even have milk in your house ever.
I have half and half and almond milk.
Even though I actually
do. Oh, that's okay.
I actually do like milk. I just don't.
I do too. But I wouldn't have a glass of almond milk with dinner because I get that out of the way with breakfast.
Yeah. That too.
Because it's a breakfast food.
All right. Justin falls on the normal side, I guess.
Vindicated.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
God forbid.
That's you holding all that milk in your stomach when you do that. That curdled
that's
cheese.
That's me, like, genuinely worrying
this
that
explains,
I'm some weirdo.
This explains your smell.
The milk smell? The milk boy smell? Well, because we asked Alex, and then he said he had a friend growing up that drank milk.
A weird friend.
A weird friend.
Yeah. But the problem is that Alex is a weird guy. So, like, is he just that? It was the weird friend, the normal friend, and Alex just didn't know?
All right, that is all the scoops we have for you this week. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Brian. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.